All right, let's begin our service this evening turning to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Chose this passage we're going to talk about the wise seeking mercy. Here Moses is seeking mercy, seeking the face of God in verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
Let's turn now to page 527, I believe. Yeah, 527.
Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior. Save into
Bibles now to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We looked at the first part of this psalm last Wednesday. We'll begin in verse 33. Lord willing, look at the rest of it this evening. Psalm 107, verse 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for a habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression and affliction and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Thank God for His Word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our great God, our holy, majestic, sovereign, merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace to Your people. We've gathered here together this evening out of the world to hear word from You, to worship You. What a miracle, Father, of Your grace, that You'd call a people out of this world to gather together in the middle of the week to worship You with a heart that desires to worship You, to hear more of Christ our Savior. What a miracle of Your mercy. Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray that You would bless us tonight as we attempt to worship Your matchless name. Give us a heart of worship. Bless Your word as it's preached. Cause it to go forth in the power of Your Spirit, to bring glory to Your name, and to reach the hearts of Your children. You know the situation of everyone here. We've gathered together out of different circumstances, different difficulties, different problems weighing upon our hearts. Father, meet the need of Your people through the preaching of Your word. We do know our one great need is Your mercy. All we are is sin, and we need Your mercy every second, every day. How we need Your mercy. Father, be merciful tonight, we pray. Reveal Yourself in power to Your people, that we might leave here this evening rejoicing in Christ our Savior. And Father, I thank You for this place. I thank You for the years of blessing, how richly You have blessed this congregation. It's more than tongue can tell. And we're humbled. Oh, how we're humbled. No reason can be found but Your mercy. And Father, we beg that You not leave us alone, but that You continue to bless, that You continue to reveal Yourself to Your people, continue to call out Your people, and continue to bless and feed your people through the preaching of your word. Cause us, Father, to have a care, a love one for another, to hold one another up, to pray for one another, to help one another, to not be a stumbling block to our brothers and sisters. Father, we pray for those in particular that you brought into the time of trouble and trial. And you know the need of your people. You know where we're at because you led us there. And Father, I pray that you give a special portion of your presence to those who are in a time of affliction, that you comfort their hearts with your presence. And as soon as it could be thy will, that you'd provide a way out. But Father, again, I beg of you that you bless us as we look into your word this evening. Bless us with the word from you, we pray. Of course, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Father of mercy, have mercy on me. This is my prayer, Lord, my heart's earnest plea. Mercy is thine, Lord, to give or withhold. Mercy, I pray, Lord, for my sinful soul. Father of mercy, thy mercy is free, choosing the foolish and wretches like me, calling the poor ones and less than the least, giving them grace, Lord, to dine at thy feast. How can we praise thee? How can we adore? Blessing and honor be thine evermore. Praise to thy Spirit, heavenly God. Hail to thy Son, Lord, the Son of thy love. Father of power, thy power we sing, perfect redemption through Jesus our King. Righteousness before thee, he stands in our place. Looking at him, Lord, we look on thy face. Father of glory, all glory to thee, for thy salvation, for setting us free. Mercy and truth, Lord, in thee embrace, owing it all, Lord, to thy sovereign grace.
All right, let's open our Bibles again now to Psalm 107. You may recall that last Wednesday evening we looked at this psalm and saw how the Lord gathers his people from all over the earth, from many different situations. None of them are so far from him that he cannot gather his people to himself. We saw how the Lord delivers his people from the wilderness of man's religion. There's no life there, nothing to sustain life there. And God gathers his people out of that, brings them to himself. The Lord delivers his people from starving to death because they're trying to live on their own righteousness. He gathers them out of that and brings them to Christ, our righteousness, Christ, the bread of life. The Lord delivers His people from the affliction of their sin by bearing their sin for them, suffering affliction for His people, that He might deliver them. The Lord delivers His people from many different and various and repeating troubles and trials, so that He draws them closer to Him, so that they learn to trust Him. And we saw this, how that before the Lord gathers His people to Himself, that's His purpose, His eternal purpose is to gather those people to Himself. Before He does it, He makes those people miserable. He makes them see their helplessness, so that they're going to cry to the Lord for mercy. That's God's purpose, to be merciful to them. But before He is, He's going to make them cry for mercy. And then the Lord delivers His people and gathers them to Himself. And this was repeated four times in the first how many ever verses that we looked at. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. See, this happens over and over and over again. The Lord is constantly gathering His people to Himself. Now our text in this psalm ends in verse 43, telling us that a wise person will continually seek mercy from God. The psalmist says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Now the word loving kindness used here normally is translated mercy in Scripture. I don't know why they chose to translate it as loving kindness here, but normally, the very same word is translated mercy. And the word observe means something to keep and to guard something. So someone who is observing mercy is going to keep it. They're not going to leave mercy. They're going to continually seek to live in God's mercy. Now let's go back up to verse 33 and see what leads the psalmist down to this conclusion in verse 43. My first point is this, that the title of the message is Wise People Seek Mercy. Wise people seek mercy because of their dry, dead, barren nature. Now it is only wise people who seek mercy from God. But man by nature is not wise. None of us are born with any spiritual wisdom. Truth be told, none of us are born with any wisdom of any kind, are we? We're not born with any wisdom to not know to stick our finger in the light socket or not to fall down the stairs. Somebody's got to be teaching us all that stuff. We're not born with any wisdom. But the evidence of our foolish sin nature, the evidence we have no wisdom, spiritually speaking, is sinners do not, of their own accord, seek mercy from God, even though mercy is their greatest need. They will not seek mercy from God. That is the greatest evidence of our dead spiritual nature. And refusal to seek mercy from God has dire consequences. Now, verse 33. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. God does this because of the wickedness of them that dwell therein. Now, this description of what God does to regions in nature is given to us as a picture of God's dealings with men. There are places on earth that at one time, years and years and years ago, were well watered by rivers and underground water supplies. They're fruitful places. Plants and vegetables and all kinds of things, you know, grew there so easily. And now, they're barren wastelands. And we see evidences. There used to be a river here. There used to be a lake here. But now they're gone. It's just a desert. What happened? God dried them up. That's what happened. And God does the same thing to people. You just imagine a group of people. This description could fit a lot of groups of people who at one time were blessed. Blessed of God. And not just with physical material blessings. They were blessed to hear the gospel. They were blessed to be able to hear of Christ. Almighty God put a place in that town, that area, where people could hear the gospel. And they had every advantage. Those who would come, those who would hear, they had every advantage spiritually. Faith cometh by hearing, doesn't it? Hearing by the word of God. They had a place to hear the word of God. God had given His word to those people. And God gave them pastors and teachers to preach that word to them. Now you think what an advantage that was to those people. They were blessed, weren't they? And what did they do with that blessing? They rejected Christ. They refused to believe on Christ. And the best example of that is the Jews, the nation Israel. The Lord gave them His law to point them to Christ. And they turned it into a way to earn a righteousness by them keeping it. God made Israel His chosen nation. He told Israel, I've chosen you out of the world. He didn't choose any other nation on earth. And He made sure they knew, now this is My grace to you that I chose you. I didn't choose you because you were the greatest in number. You're the fewest. I didn't choose you because you're the best. You're the worst. But I chose you to be My people. And you know what they did with that? You know, you won't find any of those old Jews that would argue with election. Every last one of them believed in election. Every one of them did. They believed the elect came from Abraham's loins. They believed they were the elect of God just because they were Jews. See what they did? They became proud of grace. Oh my goodness. Instead of being humbled by God's mercy to them, instead of being humbled that God would choose them, instead of being humbled that God would bless them, they became proud of it, like they deserved it. God sent them prophets to tell them, thus saith the Lord. How many times do you read that in the prophets? Thus saith the Lord. And the Jews hated most of them, killed many of them. Christ Himself came in the flesh as a Jew to the Jews. You think what a blessing that is. The Savior Himself. And what did they do? He came into His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected Him. So, He took His gospel away from them. He took His presence away from them and sent it to the Gentiles. He dried them up, didn't He? Look at Luke 8, verse 18. I want you to see this from God's Word. That's exactly what the Lord did. Luke 8, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has faith in Christ, whosoever hears, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not faith, whoever does not hear with faith, from him shall be taken. Even that which he seemeth to have. Here's what the Lord's saying. If you think you've got a righteousness that you earned, God's going to take it from you. You're going to lose it. Now, really, you never had it in the first place. You just seemed to have it. But if you thought you had it, God's going to take it away from you. If you think you've got some corner on God, you know, God's got to give this to you. He's not going to give it to somebody else. You know, you've got a corner on God. Be warned. God's going to take away what you think you got, what you seem to have. If you think you have life, if you think you're fruitful and spiritually fruitful, if you think you're blessed in this world because of all the good things you do, you better be careful. God's going to take away what you think you got and make you barren. Look at John chapter 9. That's what He did to the Jews, wasn't it? John chapter 9. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you are blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Our Lord came to give spiritual sight to the blind. Those who could not see, He came to give them sight. But now, if you think you already see on your own, then the Lord's not going to give you spiritual sight. You don't think you need it. And you're going to die in your sin because you didn't think you needed Christ. See, if God doesn't make you seek Christ, if God doesn't make you seek mercy, you're never going to have it. And the Lord will turn. He'll take that which you think is life. And turn it into death. Because there's no hope for it. So wise people seek mercy. I want to talk to you for a minute. Let's not be like the Jews. One of my great fears is that Hurricane Road Grace Church will become a story that's been told. That the gospel used to be preached in that place. That there used to be a group of people there who believed God. Because, for whatever reason, we got so full of ourselves, we rejected it. Let's be wise. Let's pray God gives us wisdom to seek mercy. The Lord must be leading Eric the same way He's leading my heart tonight. Eric in the study prayed that the Lord would make us seek His mercy. That the Lord would make us not take this for granted. That we don't lose it. Oh, let's be wise. Let's ask God to give us wisdom to seek God's mercy. Look at verse 35 back in our text. Psalm 107, verse 35. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. Now here again, there's a desert. And everything's dead in that desert. But it'd be a tropical jungle if the Lord just sent water to it. I've seen pictures of the desert. It rains once every few years, but boy, when it does, the beauty of the plants and stuff that springs up, then it all goes back dormant again because there's no water. Just think what happened if God sent water there all the time. He maketh that dry ground to be a water spring. Well, that's just what the Lord does for His people spiritually. Christ came to give life to the spiritually dead. And that life's more abundant, isn't it? It's more abundant than physical life. I'm thankful for physical life. We're all going to lose that. You'll never lose eternal life. It's more abundant than the life you think you can earn by your own righteousness, because you're going to lose that. You're going to find out that's not life at all. This is eternal life that can never be lost. It's abundant. Christ came to give the water of life to the dry, barren wastelands of the hearts of His people. See, they once were dry and dead. But now they're so full of water, they're like a marsh. This water is just there all the time. Once they had no water at all. Now, just like the Lord told that woman at the well, they got a well of water springing up in their heart. Once all they did was thirst. But now once they drank of Christ, they'll never thirst again. Now why did that happen? How did that happen? How did those dry, barren people become this lush, water-filled land? Because God revealed Christ, the water of life, to them. And they never thirsted again. Christ came to give water to the thirsty. Are you thirsty? Our Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Sounds to me like the question is, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, come to Christ and drink all you want. Drink all you need. It's free. Now, wise people seek mercy, don't they? Wise people seek this water. Well, then let's call on God and beg Him for mercy. Beg Him to give us this water of life. And if He does, you're going to find that nothing will refresh your heart like Christ. You'll enjoy a lot of other things in this earth. Everything in this earth is given for God's people to enjoy. Don't feel guilty about enjoying those things. But nothing's going to satisfy your heart but Christ. And God's going to give that to you, those that seek mercy. Okay, number two, wise people seek mercy because they're hungry. Verse 36, and there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for a habitation. Now the hungry here are those that David talked about, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, this is a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst. Now, when we're hungry, I mean when we're really hungry. Later on tonight, Jan and I are going to sit down and watch one of our shows, and I'm going to have a snack. I mean, it's just my body's condition. It's not because I'm hungry, it's just because I want a snack, you know. But I'm talking about when we're hungry, when you're hungry. You know why you're hungry, you feel those hunger pangs? That's your body's way of telling you there's something you need that's not inside of you. And you've got to get it from outside of you. Same thing when we're thirsty. Our body tells us when we're thirsty. Our body's telling us that my body needs something that's not inside me. I've got to get it from outside. That's what happens when God saves a sinner. He makes them miserable. He makes them hunger and thirst after righteousness. that sinner does not have inside of him and can't earn himself, can't get any other way other than begging God to give it to him. See, I need God to give me righteousness from outside of me. I need Him to give it to me and put it in me. I need God to give me life. I'm born dead. I need God to give me life and put it in me. Not leave it up to me to take it, but to give it to me. If I'm dead, I can't reach out and take it, can he? I need Him to give it to me. Put it in me. I need God to give me Christ. I need God to put me in Christ. That's the only way my hunger can be satisfied. And in His mercy to His people, God makes them to dwell in Christ. He makes them dwell in a place where they can be fed by hearing the gospel preached. Now, what a mercy from God to be put in Christ. If God's put us in Christ, you think what that means. That means we're one with Christ. That means that we are what He is because we're one with Him. What a mercy from God to be put where we can constantly feed on Christ. What a mercy of God to be put in a place where we can come and find salvation for our souls. We can come and find strength for our hearts. We can find comfort for our souls and our hearts through the preaching of the gospel. How merciful God is to His people. And I say again, brethren, let's not take that for granted. God does not owe us that kind of mercy. And I hope Hurricane Road Grace Church, this people, never takes for granted this blessed privilege God's given us to have a place we can meet together and worship. To have a place that we can hear the gospel preached week after week after week. And not take that for granted and think, God's always going to keep the gospel here. I mean, Brother Henry's our pastor for 50 years. And how long we've been in this building now. God's blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. Well, I'm thankful, but don't think He has to. Now, let's not fall into that trap, just like those old Jews are thinking He has to keep doing that for us here. Because He doesn't have to, does He? No. God's not blessed this people because we're better than everybody else in this tri-state area who is wherever they're at. That's not why, is it? No, it's because of God's mercy. It's because of God's mercy we hadn't left. I mean, what keeps you coming back here week after week after week? What happens? Why doesn't something, the most insignificant, immaterial thing in this world, happen and make you think, well, I'm never going back there again. I'm never going back hearing that preacher. I'll never go back with those people again. Why hadn't that happened to you? Why haven't you thought, you know, maybe there's something better. I'm going to go find something better. Why hadn't that happened to you? You smarter than everybody else? You stronger than everybody else? You more religious than everybody else? No. God's merciful, isn't He? He's merciful. Well, wise people will seek God's mercy. Wise people will seek mercy where it's found, in Christ, for Christ's sake. God be merciful to me for Christ's sake. Wise people will continually ask God for mercy. God, don't leave me to my own self. Be merciful. God, don't remove Your candlestick from this place. Don't remove Your mercy from us. Lord, keep us. Keep us. Keep us ever close to You. Keep us from leaving so we'll be blessed. Right, here's the third thing. Wise people seek mercy to save the lost. Verse 37. God's put them in this place where they can prepare a city for a habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Now remember, when God brought His people Israel into the land and He blessed them in it, that's a picture of redemption. God brought Israel into the land He promised them because He's a covenant God. God does what He does because He purposed to do it from eternity. And God brought them to that land. God fed them there. He provided for them there. He blessed them and increased them in every way, didn't He? Oh, how merciful God was. But you'll notice the people still had to sow fields. They still had to plant vineyards so that they'd have fruit to eat, didn't they? And God's people today have to do the same thing. Oh, God's blessed us. How God has blessed us. And I'm talking specifically, Hurricane Road Grace Church, us here. How God has blessed us. But you know what? We still got to plant, don't we? We still got to sow. We still got to water. That God's the one that gives the seed to plant. God's the one that gives the water. And God's going to be the one to give the increase. That's what He promises He's going to do. But we still have to plant and water. God has given us this place of mercy. He's given us this ministry. And by God's grace, this is a place where God is worshipped. This is a place where God's worshipped through the preaching of Christ. And I don't think I'm wrong in saying this. That right now, this seems to me to be a very special time. It seems to me that God is richly blessing, giving us showers of blessing. Now all that's of the Lord, isn't it? All that's of the Lord. But we're still responsible to continue planting the seed. You who believe, aren't you thankful for God's mercy to you? I know you. I know you're thankful for God's mercy to you. But this is what I also know. I know the prayer of your heart every day. The prayer of your heart every day is that the Lord would save your children. That He'd save your loved ones that don't know the Lord. That's the prayer of your heart every day. God's been merciful to you, so you pray the Lord be merciful to others, especially those you love after the flesh. Well, do you know how that's going to happen? If God's going to save our children, if God's going to save our loved ones, He's going to save our friends and our neighbors. You know how that's going to happen? By the planting of the seed. The planting of the seed, the Word of God. This Word is the seed that God uses to give life, and He plants it through the preaching of the gospel. Now listen, I can't promise you that God's going to save all of our children. Can't promise that because I don't know what the Lord would be pleased to do. But I do know this. God's promised to save His people through the preaching of the gospel. And they're not going to be saved without it. I do know that. Now, aren't we thankful for God's mercy to us? Oh, how thankful we are. Well, I pray the Lord be merciful to us in this respect, too. That He'll make us faithful to preach the gospel to the next generation. That He'll make us faithful in this time to our friends, to our community, to the people that are here now. God will make us faithful to preach to this generation, to our friends, our family, our children, our neighbors. And like I said, I can't promise you God's going to save those that we love. I don't know whether He'd be pleased to do that or not, but I do know He's not going to save them without hearing the gospel. It's pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, my prayer is the Lord will make us wise. That He'll make us wise to pray for mercy for our children and for our loved ones. That the Lord will make us see our utter helplessness. We've got to beg God, Lord, would You be merciful to save the lost? And then, Lord, make us faithful to preach the gospel. Make us faithful to attend it and support it. Because that's how God saves and blesses His people. All right, fourthly. Wise people seek mercy when they're brought low. Verse 39 says, again, they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Now, the verse immediately before this told us God promises to bless His people. He promised to bless their families, increase them greatly with children. He promised to bless them materially. He's not going to let their cattle diminish. That was the way they measured riches in those times. He's not going to let their cattle diminish. But now, in the very next sentence, He also tells them that they're going to be diminished. They're going to be diminished. They're going to be brought low through oppression, to affliction and sorrow. Now, God has had mercy on His people. But there's no escaping being oppressed by sin. There's no escaping being oppressed by the sin that's within. There's no escaping being oppressed by the sin that's without. And I'm convinced our worst problem is the sin that's within. It's the sin that is within that oppresses us and makes us not able to hear, makes us weak in faith, makes us want to take our eyes off Christ. We're going to be oppressed by the sin that's within constantly, trying to turn us back to the law. God's people in this earth are going to suffer affliction. It's because of the sin that's in our bodies. Now, God saved us from our sin, but you can't escape the effect of sin in our bodies. You can't escape the effects of sin in this world that makes people hate Christ, hate His gospel, and hate His people. And God's people will be brought low. They will continually be brought low with sorrow. Sorrows of sin, all the sorrow that sin brings. Death, sickness, loss, decay. All happens because of sin. And you might wonder, why does God allow that to go on? I believe I got an answer for you if you wonder that. You want to hear it? God does that. He minishes His people. He lets them be brought low because of their sorrows and oppression and affliction. Because He's merciful to His people. That's right, because He's merciful to His people. In His mercy, God allows those things to continue in our bodies and continue in our world to bring us low, to make us seek the Lord. Now, whatever it is that makes you seek the Lord, that's mercy, isn't it? That's God's mercy. And wise people will seek the Lord when they're brought low. Now, the proud and the foolish won't do that. Verse 40 describes the proud and the foolish. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Now, these princes are people who think that they're strong in themselves. They don't feel any need to seek the Lord's mercy because they're foolish. They think they're strong when they're not. They think they can provide for themselves. They think whatever it God requires, I can provide that. Just give me time. I can put forth the effort to do that. And the sad thing is, God's going to give them exactly what they want. He's going to leave them alone. They're not calling on Him. They're not seeking Him. And He's going to leave them alone. And they're going to wander lost in the wilderness because they don't know Christ the way. They're so foolish, they don't even know Christ is there. So they don't seek Him. But that's not what happens to the wise. Verse 41. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. Now, the wise seek Christ when they're brought low, when they're afflicted. God afflicts them. He minishes them so that they will seek Christ. They're going to cry unto the Lord in their troubles, and God's going to hear them. God's going to deliver them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And not only does God deliver His people. Oh, they've been brought so low. He takes them and sets them up on high. He gathers the family of God together like a flock of sheep that's led and protected by Christ the Good Shepherd. He takes the low and raises them on high. I started to flip through my Bible to give you some examples of that. We don't have time this evening. Let me give you three. Hannah. Hannah was brought so low. She couldn't have a child and she was brought so low. Oh, how low she just... Bless her poor heart. She cried to God for mercy, didn't she? God set her on high, gave her sanity. David. David was brought low. He was Samuel, the prophet, announced he's coming to Jesse's house. I mean, can you imagine? Oh, my soul. Samuel. Samuel's coming to our house. To anoint a king. David was brought low. Jesse was so sure, this boy cannot be the king of Israel. He sent him out there to wash the sheep. So all them other boys could take a bath and comb their beards and look good when Samuel got there. And then they called for David. And God said, that's the man. And right there in Jesse's living room, David was anointed king of Israel. Then David was minished. How many years till he sat upon the throne of Israel, running for his life, just sure the next minute the enemy was going to take his life. If it wasn't Saul, it was going to be somebody else. I mean, the king of Israel's sole purpose in life was to kill that man David. He brought low, wasn't he? Hiding in dens and caves of the earth. And then, in a day, God set him on high and made him king of Israel. And more than that, God promised David, this one who had been brought so low, David, the Savior is coming through your loins. Your son is going to sit on the throne forever. He made him, set him on high. How about Saul of Tarsus? He seemed to have a lot of things, didn't he? Seemed to have a lot. And in an instant, God took it all away from him and brought him low, down in the dust. So that he'd seek mercy. Lord, what would you have me do? He raised him up on high and made him an apostle. The greatest apostle. Made him a preacher of his gospel. But here's the illustration of what the psalmist is talking about here. Our Lord Jesus Christ was brought low. Nobody was brought more low than Christ the Savior. He was brought low when he was made flesh, wasn't he? Can't even imagine. And when he was made sin for his people, how he was brought so low, he suffered and he died for sin. He was brought so low. But he didn't stay there, did he? No, the Father raised him and set him up on high because he's redeemed his people. Set him up on high to live forever, making intercession for his people. Now he has an everlasting priesthood. He has an everlasting kingdom. The Father said to our Savior, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You've got a scepter of righteousness. You rule and reign forever." And since our Savior set on high, all of his people are set on high too. Because we're in him. Right now, even though here we sit right now, tonight, if you believe Christ, you're seated in heavenly places. How? In Christ Jesus. Set on high. And I tell you, that makes wise people seek the Lord and rejoice in him. Verse 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Now I referred to this earlier. You know, we who believe, we have so many things to be happy about in this life. You've got a husband, dear wife. I'm just telling you. Having Janet makes me happy. I don't feel any need at all to apologize for that. Having her makes me happy. Just, it's not hard to tell. Having her makes my life better. Our children makes me happy. Lord willing, two of them are going to come home this weekend. We're happy. Looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time together. Our family, our homes. I love my home. I mean, I just love my home. It's wonderful. I love to be there. Our jobs, all the things God's provided for us in this life. And like I said earlier, you don't feel guilty about being happy about those things, about those things making you happy. But do remember this. Those things make you happy. But remember this. All those things can and they will one day be taken away from us. So the believer's rejoicing. This is talking about rejoicing. The believer's rejoicing is in Christ. That's our rejoicing. It's because of who Christ is, what he's done for us, and what he's done in us. And that rejoicing is not going to be taken away from you. It's eternal because our Savior's eternal. God's people will eternally sing the praises of Christ our Redeemer. And in that day, you know who's going to shut our mouth? Iniquity. That sin which oppresses us now, one day is going to shut her mouth. Because Christ has taken it all away from his people. So verse 43, now here's our conclusion. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whosoever is wise will observe this mercy of God. They'll guard it. They'll keep it. They'll not turn to another gospel. They'll not turn to another way of worship, another way of salvation, another way of righteousness. They're not going to turn from it. They're going to keep it. Whosoever is wise will continually seek Christ. Will continually seek him. Will continually seek his mercy because we continually need it. Now here's the thing about God's mercy. God's mercy is sovereign. It's sovereign. That means God gives his mercy to whosoever he will. And to whom he will, he withholds it. And it's right either way. Nobody has a right to question the king about his mercy. If God spares you and me in mercy, well, that's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, that's wonderful. I'm so thankful. And the only way He can do it is because Christ was punished for us. And if God God does not spare us, and He gives us what we deserve, well, we don't have anything to complain about, do we? God's just given us what we deserve. Since mercy is sovereign, and since mercy is saving, God's mercy is always saving mercy. God always saves the objects of His mercy. God's mercy is sovereign. He gives it to whom He will. God's mercy is saving mercy. It always saves the objects of God's love. Well, that tells me God's going to show mercy to somebody. He said, I'll give mercy to whom I will give mercy. God's going to give mercy to somebody. The character of God is to be merciful. God's going to be merciful to somebody. And when He does, when He is merciful to somebody, they have salvation. Well, then a wise person is going to beg God for mercy, won't they? Lord, You're going to have mercy on somebody. I know that. Would You have mercy on me? Oh, would You have mercy on me? I pray the Lord will make us wise and give us the wisdom to seek mercy from God. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for Your mercy. So undeserved, yet so rich, saving mercy. How we thank You that in Your wisdom to show mercy to Your people, You would punish Your Son fully for all of our sin. You would not give us what we deserve. You would not give Your people what they deserve, because You gave Christ our substitute everything our sin deserved, so that we're saved, redeemed, washed from all sin in Him. Father, how we thank You. The human tongue cannot express the glory of the gospel of Your mercy. We can't express the thanksgiving for Your mercy to Your people. Father, I pray that You'd make us wise, that You'd make each one of us here tonight wise to seek You, to seek Your mercy, that You'd not leave us to our own devices, but make us wise, see Christ our wisdom, and to seek You. Father, we thank You. And all these things we ask. We ask You for Your mercy. We beg You for Your mercy. And we thank You. In the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Oh, Mike, you come lead us in a song if you would.
Let's stand and sing 351. 351. And on that chorus, let's change that word cross to Christ of the cross. It's not in the cross. It's not my glory. It's the one on that cross and what He did. And who He is.
Love and mercy found. rest.